Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. And if you would, turn to... My glasses caught that. Okay, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Ezekiel. We're going to start there. Let me get this on. And no doubt we want to be praying for lots of people in our church. Talked to Sarah West last night. She was down, went to the ER today. She was able to go home, but she's able to breathe, but she's got, the cough is just won't let up. Talked to Wendell yesterday and again this morning, and then there's lots of other people that we know that are going through this, and then as a community, it's even greater, and there's folks that you guys know that I've had a rough time with this. With that said, and you can't take away from the obvious elephant, right? That there is a virus out there. But I also want you to remember that there is a trust in the Lord, and you can't take that away. Now, Psalms 91:1 is probably one of my favorite verses. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Then it follows and it says these words, and it talks about how that, I'll just read it to you. Well, keep your finger there, and I'll just read this to you, because I don't want to quote it wrong. Because I've read this. Let me just read this to you. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." Now, that's in there, right? But the problem with that is that we know that things like that do happen to good people. So what do you do with this verse? Because when you read that, it's like if you can get underneath the shadow of the Almighty and under His wings, none of this can touch you. But we do know that bad things do happen to good people. And so how do you balance that? And I'm going to tell you that I honestly believe in all my heart God can do whatever He wants to do. And I've got to just rest in that. That's where I got to put my comfort. And I believe that He is 100% capable of protecting us. And if for whatever reason in His will, He chooses not to, then I just have to trust that. No matter what form that might come in, it can come in lots of different forms, whether it's a pandemic or whatever. In the meantime, I'm going to pray believing that God can keep us safe. All right, I'm going to do that because I don't know anything else to do. I'm going to believe that He can do that. And I'm going to believe that He'll give us grace and mercy. And if somebody does get it, and we're going to pray and ask God to get them through it. It's always going to be leaning on that. It's always going to be trusting in that. And Lord forbid somebody in our ranks, passes away because of this. We'd get through that the same way we get through anything else, believing and trusting in Him, because that just doesn't go away, right? All right, now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 6 this morning. Let's get back there. Ezekiel chapter 6. And then we're going to be reading in verse 9. Ezekiel chapter 6 and in verse 9. Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You, Father, for our church and those that are able to come out. And Lord, again, and we just ask and pray for those that are homesick, that You would watch over them, that You would protect their home and their house. Lord, please, I pray, give them healing mercies. And Lord, also for our county, and so many people now are being affected by this, Lord, but I just pray that You'd help us to see and be able to believe that we can trust in You. Lord, we love You. I pray You'd speak to our hearts today. We ask this in Your precious name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 6, and we'll beginning to verse 8. Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, which shall be scattered throughout the countries. And this is talking about Israel and God having to bring judgment on them because they walked away from his word. Verse 9, and they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whither thou shalt be carried captives. Because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a whoring after their idols, and they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abomination. And here the Lord's talking about Israel, and he's having to split them up, and he's scattering around the world. And if you'll notice, right during after World War II, when Israel was set up as a nation again, that there were Jews coming from all the corners of the world, and they were being brought back to their country because God scattered them. How did they get to all those places where you find them today? It's because God scattered them back here. And as they scattered, they set up, you know, but even you can still see God's hand of mercy and blessing in their life. But here's what God's telling them, saying, this happened because you walked away from me. But I want you to notice something that I circled in my Bible. It says this in verse 9, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which have departed from me. Well, when God uses that word whorish, we all know what that kind of person is. Okay, it's somebody who's not faithful, somebody that is that they're not going to be loyal, that they're going to be promiscuous in their nature. And God is saying that the children of Israel were whorish because they took the loyalty that belonged to God and they gave it to other idols and to other things. And here's something I circled in my Bible. If you look in there, it says he was broken because of that. Now, how can a God who has everything, a God that cannot be beat, a God that cannot be overcome, a God that is everlasting, his kingdom is forever, okay? He is not limited in his power. He is all powerful. He is all knowing, right? How can that God that seems like is in the shell that just cannot be touched? I read here that he is broken because of the people that he picked out to follow him, that these people are now going astray. And he's saying that he's broken because of that. That when we don't do what we're supposed to do and we're not loyal to him, that it does affect him. That's why it's written that way. Now, if you would go to Deuteronomy chapter 3. In verse 16, Deuteronomy chapter 3, let me get there here really quick. In verse 16, Deuteronomy 3:16, hold on just a second. The Bible says this, as soon as I get there. The Bible says this, Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 16. Go to Numbers. Go to Numbers chapter 15. We'll go to that one. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 39. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 39. It says this, and it shall be unto you for Numbers chapter 15. And verse 39. And it shall be unto you for friends that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, for which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. So here is the second time it uses this word, and it's talking about in verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes and borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon their fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue, and it shall be unto you a fringe that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, which you use to go a-whoring. So again, it's mentioned that the children of Israel were to do this. They were to do this to remember what God did for them so that they don't go a-whoring. So the best way that I can explain what's going on with God using this word is to take a marriage today. Okay? When two people get married, they're given a ring. And you put that ring on, and what's the purpose of that ring? I mean, we all do it. What's the purpose of that ring? Okay? It's there on your hand. You're not supposed to take it off. It's in front of you every day to remind you of a commitment that you made to somebody that you said this is what you were going to do. All right? And I can almost tell it to you. I mean, I've been there. I've had a man and a woman stand in front of me many, many times, and you say the very same thing. You say, hey, do you have a ring, a token of your love? And you put that ring on their finger, and then they repeat after you, and they promise to be faithful. You say, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in death. You try to mention the good and the bad. Then you ask that person, do you promise to keep your word, saying that you're going to do these things as you enter into this relationship with this person, that you're going to keep your end of it, that no matter what, you're not leaving, no matter what, you're not going to give up, no matter what, we say that you're not going to have anybody else, that you're going to vow your heart to this person from this day forward, there's not going to be anybody else in your life, and both people say that you do, and then you leave there and you have a ring on your finger, and that follows you through life, and as you look down at that finger, you remember the commitment that you made to somebody. Well, they're telling the children of Israel to do this very same thing here so that they can remember the covenant that they made with God and that they don't go a-whoring after other gods. And all throughout the Bible, you see it many, many times. You see the children of Israel, they weren't happy when God brought them out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness. Okay, they were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves to the Egyptians. God sets them free. They're now in the desert because of their rebellion. And God's feeding them from heaven every day. And you know what they said because of that? They said, we're tired of this manna. This manna is falling down from heaven. God, by all rights, what they did should have just left them where they were at because they rebelled against them. It wasn't that long ago that they were in Egypt. God sets them free from Egypt, and all of a sudden he has to leave them in the wilderness for 40 years because that fast they went backwards. Well, while they're in the wilderness for 40 years, he still didn't give up on them. You know what? He's still fulfilling his commitment. Okay? And he's still feeding them from heaven. They're in the wilderness. There's no place they can grow food. There's no place they can get food. They're in the wilderness because they took themselves to the wilderness. All right? It was their own doing. But God showed up every day, and every day that manna fell from heaven. They didn't have to go to work to get it. They just picked it up and brought it home. And during all of that, they started saying, man, I wish we were back in Egypt. I wish we were. Being back in Egypt means they're giving up their freedom. They're giving up. And now they're going to live in a land where they're going to be ruled over by somebody else. They would rather have that than what God had for them. They began to complain and they began to gripe about that. They forgot how good they had it. And they started giving their heart and their affection to the God of this world. And they said, boy, we miss the leeks and garlics. And what we cannot let this world do is we cannot let it distract us. It is out there courting every one of us. Because there is a value on our head. Somebody that's lost is of no value to Satan. He already has them. But there is a value to him with us. And if he could come in that relationship that we have with God, if he can get in the middle of that, if he can begin to try and court us, although we are in a relationship, he will certainly do that. And if you don't believe that, think about this. Think about the same people coming out of Egypt. And think about how that Moses is on a mountain talking to God. Somewhere, somebody had a bright idea to make a golden calf. And when they made this golden calf, not just one, these are not atheists, Brother Ronnie. These were not pagans. These were the people that were trusting in God. These were the same people that crossed through that sea on dry ground. It's those people that when they saw that happened, It's those people that were able to be seduced by the God of this world and begin to believe his lie. How do you convince a million people to make that golden cow and then have a celebration day and everybody dance around it? Well, when you look at the state of the church today, that's what you see. You see, we are losing the fact that God is a holy God. We are losing so many things that we used to stand for that are going by the wayside, and too many are following the ranks of this world and beginning to march after their ideas and their mindset. And the Bible says that God looks at it and it says, why do you go a-whoring? Why do you give your affections to somebody other than me? Now, we all can tell when somebody, the effort that it takes to be good at something, the amount. So what I want you to ask this question before we go further. What does a dedicated Christian look like to you? We know what it takes to get a scholarship in sports. Hard work. Any young person that gets a full ride scholarship to college because of sports, I never got that. I got picked last for every team I was ever on. So a sports scholarship was out of the question for me. That wasn't happening. And if you've hung around me very long, you'll know that I'm not going to get one for academics either. Hey, you're not supposed to laugh. Brother Ronnie's up here laughing. But we know if somebody says you got a full ride scholarship because of sports, what are you going to see in their life? You're going to see a level of dedication. You're going to be able to look at it. You're going to be able to tell it. You're going to be able to see it. It's going to be noticeable by the time spent in that sport, by the effort spent in that sport. And you're going to say, that is why they got that scholarship, because they put forth the effort that it takes to get that scholarship, right? So we know what a good athlete looks like, what's supposed to be there. If you're going to be good at that, good enough to get a full ride scholarship into college. You can do the same thing for academics. You can do that the same thing for anything somebody's good at. You're going to be able to tell a level of dedication was there, and not just a participant, but a dedication, an involvement, a practice of what they believe, right? So we know what that looks like in those fields. What does it look like in a Christian? What does dedication and faithfulness look like in a Christian's life? To be able to say, that person is faithful to the Lord. That person is dead. You cannot be faithful to the Lord and simply do nothing in your Christian life, because you can say you like football. That's not going to get you a football scholarship. You're going to have to work harder than the rest of them. And in order to have a testimony that you're faithful and that you're dedicated, think of the word dedicate. When you get married, you're entering a covenant with that other person, and you're promising them something. When you got saved, do you understand? It wasn't just one-sided. You did nothing for your salvation. God Almighty in heaven saved you because he loved you. But there is an expectant. There's something that's expected on the other side. When you're presented with that kind of love and that kind of forgiveness, and you're entering that relationship, there is a side of you that also has to say, hey, just like Ruth, remember what Ruth said to her mother-in-law, Naomi? She said, wherever you go, I go. Okay? Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. If she was going to go with Naomi, there were some things that were expected out of her. And she said, hey, I'm going to go with you. And on this day forward, your people are my people. Your God's my God. Okay? I'm going to enter this relationship this way so that you know that I'm faithful. You know, when we come to God, God expects us to be faithful to him. He's offering his love to us. We in turn give our love to him. All right? We bring our love to the table and we say, hey, because of what you did for me, I'm going to serve you and only serve you the rest of my life. I'm not going to turn back. Is it possible for two people to get married and keep their wedding vows? Yes. Every time there is a divorce, somebody didn't keep them. I understand that it takes two. I understand you cannot control the other side. You can't do that. And if somebody else decides that they're not going to keep, there's nothing you can do about that. However, thank the Lord, there are all kinds of examples out there where people have been married 40 and 50 years. How do they do that? Those two people meant what they said, and both of them kept it. Both of them took it serious. Listen, when you get saved, you got to take it serious that Christ died for you. You got to take it serious that how much he loves you. You have to take it serious what he did on the cross for you. And then you also have to take it serious what you're going to tell him. I'm going to live for you. I didn't write it. He said the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Is there any room for cheating on God in that verse? None. He says, you come to the table, Dave. Here's what I expect out of you. Commitment, loyalty. Now you say, well, that's difficult because I'm a sinner. Yeah, you know, a marriage can hit a bump in the road, but it doesn't have to end the marriage. And thank God we have somebody on the other side of our relationship that always has open arms, that's always forgiving, and that's always loving. There is no reason for us to wander when we have that kind of commitment in our life. But yet you see it all the time. Even today, although we don't worship God, it's very easy for us to get distracted. It's very easy to, can we say that we are devoted to God as we are devoted to other things in our life? Would you like to take your life, put it under that microscope, have God look at it and say, yes, he's dedicated to fishing, but he's more dedicated to me. Yes, he likes this, but he's more, because the thing of it is we get comfortable in that gray area, and then oftentimes this is the part of our life that ends up on the back burner. This is the part that gets replaced. This is the part that's the easiest to say, okay, well, because we know, here is something that is very dangerous. You and I know we have a God that's not going to leave us. You know why? Let me read this to you. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and we'll start in verse 4 and we'll go in verse 5. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. And what's one of the things in a real relationship? I've sat down and talked to many people, and they say, well, I'm just not happy. I just need to be happy. I'm just not happy anymore. Or you'll hear this, I just don't love that person anymore. You know what God's saying here is saying, hey, watch out for covetousness. Be content. How much more content can a person be with a God of heaven loving you unconditionally no matter what you've done? And you know what? If you cheat on God, he's going to be there, and he's going to help you put the relationship back together again. But when it says this, I want you to see what it says here. Here's what he says. He says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He said that. I will never. Can you imagine? Think the day that you got saved, kind of like getting married. And as you're standing there and the Lord's coming to you and he's saying, Dave, I care about you. I don't want you to go to hell. And I say, but God, I'm a sinner. And I deserve hell. And he's going to say, Dave, I forgave you. But God, I'm afraid. You know what he's going to say? Dave, I want you to know something. I will never leave you. But what if I sin? Dave, I will never leave you. What if I backslide? God, I'm scared because my flesh is weak. And God looked at me and said, Dave, I'll never leave you. And I will never forsake you. He didn't forsake David when he had an adulterous affair. He didn't forsake Samson when Samson got out of the will of God. He stood right by those guys throughout the whole way. That's what he would say to me. he would look at me and say, Dave, as we enter this relationship, I want you to know something about this relationship. I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. But isn't that what we say when we get married? Both people say, I'll never do this, and the other person says, I'll never do that. But see, the problem is these are human beings, right? Okay, so God comes to that relationship and says, Dave, this is what I'll do. Is it possible, although we cannot be perfect, can we be faithful to God and say, God, I'll never leave you. God, I'm not going to let anything come between me and you, which means you then have to go out in your life and guard that relationship. You have to value that relationship, and you got to value your word. And it's something, because we live in a sinful body, you got to pay attention to every day. And sometimes the thought might come in, and sometimes your flesh is prone to wander, but then you get it under control. Why? Because your commitment to God means something. I just read to you when Israel backslid and they went a-whoring, the Bible says it broke him. Here, how, if God has no feelings, then who is he? See, it's the feelings of God that allowed him to let his son die for us, that he put a value on me and you so high, he let his son suffer to pay for the sins of the whole world. He allowed that to happen. That means, Chris, God has feelings. Because he didn't want me to have to suffer in hell forever. And the only way out of it was his son dying on that cross in order to pay for my sins. And given such a great gift, and then we just trample it through the mud. We pay attention to other things. We're sold out to other things. We're committed to other things. We're faithful to other things. But when it comes to God, there's a safety in the fact of knowing he's never going to leave me. But Romans put it this way. Should you continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And sometimes, you ever heard people do this? You ever heard sometimes when people's been married for 24 years and then they go someplace nice and they renew their vows? And, I used to look at that and think, well, what are you renewing? If you meant it the first time, you meant it now. But in a way, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes I think we need to be reminded of the commitment on the other end. And guys, I can't promise you anything about tomorrow. I can just promise you that you can cash a check on that verse I just read to you. Okay? If you're sitting in a hospital room, cash that check. If you're like this lady who just lost all of her family, you know what I could tell her that day? I can say, listen, you may have lost your kids, but you haven't lost the Lord. Because he can't leave you. He can't go away. You're always going to have him. He is the bedrock of who you are. And may I tell you something? I don't want to have I hurt God in my relationship? Absolutely. And I'm sure if you're a human being, you have too. And you know what you have to do when that relationship gets a little bit? You have to go to him and you have to say, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I wish I could love God the way he loves me. And that's not going to be possible till I get to heaven. But I can tell you this. I can be faithful. I love the same God I heard about in Sunday school when I was 5 years old. Then I heard the stories when I was a teenager. And then I got married, and it's the same God. There's been some dark times in my life where I was all alone. Sometimes it's self-deserving, stuff I brought on me. Other times it's stuff that spilled over in other people's lives into mine. But I can tell you today, he is faithful, and he's never left me. And if anything we can learn from this is to go out and be faithful to him. To not ever let my thoughts or my action, and it's so sometimes it's like you know, when you counsel people and you say, well, I thought he was just being nice to me. And I you know, it's like what he said made me feel good. And not realizing what the agenda is, do you understand there's a force out there that wants us to go the other direction. There's a force out there that wants to disrupt that relationship that we have with the Lord. There is a world out there that courts us every day, and we're losing people to it right and left. Now, no, they're not just full-blown out atheist or reject. It's that they've given their heart and their emotions and their energies to somebody other than the Lord. He no longer has first place. Now, here's something else in the Bible we have to remember that God said. He is a jealous God. He is a jealous God. Just like I wouldn't think it funny if some guy, I go home and I get my wife's phone and I find out somebody's texting her. I'm not going to be super happy about that. I'm going to get a little jealous, right? I'm going to say, hey, give me his number. I'm going to text him, right? May I tell you something? God in heaven looks down at us and says, Dave, I wish you would love me as much as you love that. Dave, I wish you were as sold out to me as you are sold out for that. Dave, I wish you would give me the same amount of attention as you do binge watching some series. I wish you'd give me the same attention. Why? Because he loves us. He craves that relationship. Do you understand to him, heaven would not be heaven unless we are there. And you're going to have to ask God why he loves us that way, but he does. The least we can do is to look back at God in the best of our ability, because I did it 28 years ago to that young lady. I looked her in the eye and I said, I promise never to leave you. And I told her, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, we forget that part. Because when the worst comes, we're like, hey, I'm out. No, but you said, no, I'm out. You know, hey, you know, I just don't feel it anymore. I know, I looked at her and I gave her my word. Now, have I been the perfect husband since the day I got married? All you got to do is ask her afterwards and she'll be honest with you. The answer to that is no. But I have been faithful. And that's the only thing that we can give the Lord. I don't ever want God to look down from heaven and be jealous of me because I'm devoted to something else more than I am to him. I want him to know that the best of my ability, that he can count on me in this relationship as well. Because there are people in the Bible that did that. Look at Daniel. He was faithful. Samuel was faithful. And you can look at at a lot of people, although not perfect, faithful. They stayed the course. They even though people were falling on the right hand and on the left hand, they stayed the course. They kept their eyes on the Lord, and they were faithful. We certainly do not want to be guilty of going a whoring after this world. And there's ever been a time that we just need to just focus. The greatest thing you could do of whatever lies ahead, focus on your relationship with God. If you remember, right when this started rolling just a little bit, clear back in March, it was right before it really got bad at all. It was still very few cases in America. I mentioned that if you care about your family, the very first thing you would do is get as close to God as you possibly can and don't move. And the same thing would be said today. The greatest thing you can do is instead of worrying about things we can't control, put your effort in that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will sustain you because you have somebody on the other end that said, Dave, quit worrying. I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. That's pretty. What more could you ask for a God that can do anything? To know that even when I'm foolish in my actions, he is not.
and that I can trust. Now, if you're here and you've never entered that relationship with the Lord, well, then that would be a scary place to not even have that. But may I tell you, if you do have that relationship with the Lord, covet that, cherish that, hold on to that, and this week, let's do our part to show him that we're going to be faithful to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it. And Lord, thank you for sharing us in the Bible, showing us where, Lord, there's several times that your people went a-whoring after the gods of this world. And Lord, you even shared with us that it broke you. Lord, when Samuel came to you and said that they don't want a king anymore, you told Samuel that they have not forsaken Samuel, that they forsook you. I can't even imagine what that was like for your people to tell you they don't want you governing their life anymore. They want a man. And Father, we can be critical on that. We can look back at that and say how foolish that was. But then we have to examine our own relationship with you, our own commitment to you, and determine whether or not we've been faithful to our end. And in reality, Lord, you would be rightly to judge us. Lord, I don't even know why you trust us, because we wander so often. But I want to thank you for loving us. And Lord, I pray that we will keep your word in front of us like a wedding ring that we wear every day, reminding us of the commitment that you've made to us and the commitment we've made to you, that we would not forget that. And Lord, that relationship would be something that would continue to grow. Thank you for loving us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Let's stand if you would. Just want to give a